There's a different version of that story in Matthew. Matthew says, after the Sabbath, as the first light of the new week dawned, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to keep vigil at the tomb. Suddenly the earth reeled and rocked under their feet as God's angel came down from heaven, came right up to where they were standing. He rolled back the stone and then sat on it. Shafts of lightning blazed from him. His garments shivered snow white. The guards at the tomb were scared to death. They were so frightened they couldn't move. The angel spoke to the women, "There is nothing to fear here. I know you're looking for Jesus, the one they nailed to the cross. He is not here. He was raised just as he said. Come and look at the place where he was placed. Now get on your way quickly and tell his disciples. He is risen from the dead. He is going on ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there." That's the message. The women, deep in wonder and full of joy, lost no time in leaving the tomb. They ran to tell the disciples. Then Jesus met them, stopping them in their tracks. "Good morning," he said. They fell to their knees, embraced his feet, and worshiped him. Jesus said, "You're holding on to me for dear life. Don't be frightened like that. Go, tell my brothers that they are to go to Galilee and that I will meet them there." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to you, Lord Christ. So now, just as it was then, it's Easter morning. It's Resurrection Sunday. The atmosphere here in this church is a bit humorous, but a lot joyful. Choir did a wonderful job singing. So many faces that we haven't seen in a little while, some new ones. And the familiar standbys who we see every Sunday, and we rejoice that you're here this morning. See, Easters have always been joyful to me. I recall as a kid, the anticipation of Easter morning, it was kind of like Christmas morning, only somehow even brighter and fresher and newer. See, growing up, there was this feeling, I can remember it, the feeling of putting on new Easter clothes for church, of finding a brightly colored tin foil wrapped chocolate bunny in your Easter basket. Seeing all the people at church in their new suits and ties, and all the girls in pastel dresses and ribbons and bows and hats, and yes, that dates me a little bit. Then after church, there was Easter Sunday lunch with the extended family, family we hadn't seen in a year, cousins, aunts, uncles, all around my mamaw's giant table at their camp on the river. And there was roast or maybe a ham and potato salad and macaroni and cheese and deviled eggs. Easter was always a family celebration growing up. And looking back, I can recall all of the trappings of Easter from my childhood. But I don't think that it was until much later that I really had any idea what this celebration was all about. See, there was this word the preacher and Sunday school teacher would say, resurrection. Now, as a kid, I might have had a vague idea that it had something to do with Jesus being alive. But to make the connection of the resurrection to the events that Jesus experienced beforehand, and then to make the connection to my life, my circumstances, my experience, well, that was something that came much later in life for me. And I suspect it might be the same for you. The thing is, I know that outside these walls, out in the community all around us, there are people who have no clue what the big deal is with Resurrection Sunday for those Christians. See, to most of the people out there in the world today, this day is more about the chocolate bunny in the basket than it is about Jesus. It's more about some time off from work. It's more about a chance for a long weekend, maybe camping or what have you. If we as a culture, as a society, are ever going to walk in step with God, then we need to think beyond the Easter bunny. See, in the third chapter of Paul's letter to the Colossians, Paul says, "So if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up. Be alert to what's going on around Christ. Because that's where the action is. Seeing things from His perspective." Paul says your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. He is your life. When Christ, your real life, remember, shows up again on this earth, you'll show up too. The real you. The glorious you. And then he says, "Meanwhile, be content with obscurity like Christ." See, Paul says that if we are to walk in step with God, we need to elevate our thinking up out of the muck and mire of the world and start thinking about things from a heavenly perspective. Maybe we as a culture don't appreciate the value of the resurrection because we don't really understand what Jesus did for us in that selfless act that made the resurrection possible. Now, if you were here in this church this past Friday evening for our Good Friday service, then you heard the story of that event that made the resurrection possible. And that's the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, His death on the cross. That horrific death hung on a cross while insults were hurled at Him and the very people He came to save spewed all manner of vile and hateful things at Him and mocked Him. And then after He died, He was laid in the tomb and He battled death until death had to bow His knee. Like everyone and everything will eventually do, death had to bow His knee and admit that Jesus Christ is indeed Lord of all in heaven and on earth. See, as the church, as the body of Christ, we're pretty good, I think, at remembering the Easters from year to year. And we do pretty well at remembering the crucifixion, although probably not as well as we should, not as consistently as we do Easter, and maybe not with as much emphasis as we should. But one of the things I think we often overlook in this season is the day between the crucifixion and the resurrection. I call it the forgotten Sabbath. It's the time spent while Jesus is busy conquering the grave. It's the time we spend in limbo, wondering what comes next, wondering now what. Now what are we going to do? It's the time between the before and the after. I think we've all experienced Sabbaths in our lives, haven't we? Life is moving along and suddenly there's an event of such magnitude that the clocks stop. Our circumstances change so radically and we are left wondering, where do I go from here? I can recall many Sabbaths in my life. There's one that comes to mind this morning I'll share with you just as an example of what it is I'm talking about. Following my time in the Marines, I took a job as a general manager right over here at Bush Intercontinental, managing an aircraft handling company. We loaded airplanes, cargo, baggage, people. We loaded KLM, British Airways, Aeromexico, Lufthansa, U.S. Mail, you name it. One day I was in the tail of the cargo hold of a big charter that came in from the Ivory Coast. I was with a U.S. Customs inspector, and we were looking at the cargo there in the tail. And when we were done, I stepped out onto the big loading equipment that was up against the airplane, and somehow it activated, and it threw me 20 feet to the concrete below. See, that day the clock stopped for me. See, I had a closed head injury, I had two broken arms, a broken pelvis, internal injuries, and there were several weeks, months even, of fuzziness, this mental fog from the head injury that took me months to emerge from. And as I recovered mentally and physically, I experienced a Sabbath of waiting and wondering, what do I do now? Now that I can't work, now that I can't formulate all of my words, now that I can't use my arms, I can't walk, I can't focus my thoughts on anything for any length of time, what am I going to do now? Do you have any Sabbaths in your life that you've experienced? Maybe you're in one now. Sabbaths can be dark times. They can be foggy. They can be confusing, disorienting. We don't wait very well, do we? But see, there's one thing I know. Sabbaths come to an end. In every Sabbath that I have experienced, in every Sabbath I have gone through in my life, the sun always rises on Sunday. There's always an Easter morning on Sunday after a period of Sabbath. Why is that? Because God didn't design the Sabbath for fog and uncertainty. No, He did not. God didn't design the Sabbath for despair or loss or chaos or darkness. No, He did not. God made the Sabbath for rest and rebuilding and refocusing and experiencing His love and redemption and forgiveness and doing amazing things like conquering death and hard times and circumstances that seem like they are nights without end and places where the light of hope doesn't shine through. God designed the Sabbath for the renewal of the world, the preparation for the coming dawn, the coming light and power and glory that is redemption and recovery and resurrection. See, after the Sabbath, after every Sabbath, comes resurrection. And so it is with this particular Sabbath. On the dawning of the new day, the angel rolls the stone away and Jesus walks out of the grave victorious. What does that magnificent fact mean to you and to me? Well, it means that Jesus has taken all of your sins, all of my sins, all of the sins of the world, and exchange them with us for His righteousness. The righteousness of God, so that now there is no longer a separation, no longer this chasm between God and humanity. Jesus is the bridge. Jesus paid it all. And now all we have to do is confess with our mouths and believe in our hearts that He is Lord of all. And then we get to take part in the glory of the resurrection. His resurrection becomes our resurrection. It's that amazing, and it's that simple. This morning, this Easter morning, this Resurrection Sunday, let Jesus be the dawning light of resurrection in whatever Sabbath you find yourself in. Choose every day to begin your life with a mindset of resurrection, made possible for you through the resurrection power of Christ. This Easter morning, today, Resurrection Sunday, let His resurrection be your resurrection. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.